That's a good morning to you in the name of the Lord. Always glad to be here. Come back again to share the Word of God with you. Today I want to share with you on living for the glory of God. Man's chief aim is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. As children of God, someone said, we are not put on earth to show that God answers prayer, but we are here to show to the world that we are living monuments of the grace of God. So in order to be living monuments for God, we have to glorify God. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it all to the glory of God. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 20, we are told that we are bought with a price. Christ has redeemed us with His precious blood, and we have to glorify God in our body and in our spirit. We belong to God. We are no more ourselves. Okay? Sometimes you hear people say, I have my right. You know? Especially you drive cars. You have the right way. You know? Sometimes you don't give way to the others because you have the right of way. Okay? When we become a child of God, we have no more rights. All our rights have been surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. Please bear in mind, don't think that you have a right. Yes, you may be right, but Christ has the right of everything in our life. Okay. We have to live a life that will show to the world that we are different. Now, Christians are not smarter than all the other people, okay? But Christians are different from all the other people because we are children of the living God. We have been redeemed. We have been purchased by the blood of Christ. Okay? So remember that we are not our own owners. Christ owns us. So whatever we do, whether we eat, we drink, whether we work, we study, we have to do it to the glory of God. Before we go further, let's commit this message to the Lord's hand. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious, eternal Heavenly Father, our hearts are truly thankful unto Thee for Thy great love towards us, saving us from our sins, making us Thy children indeed. We thank You for Thy great love. We thank You for all Thy provisions. We thank Thee for watching over us up to this moment of time, taking care of us, never leaving us out of Thy sight. Lord, we just praise Thee and bless Thee for Thy goodness to us. We just do not know how to thank Thee enough. Help us, Lord, to praise Thee when every opportunity arises. Now, Lord, we command the preaching and hearing of Thy precious word to Thy loving hands. We pray that Thou steer our hearts, that we may know that Thou art the Almighty God, that Thou be exalted in our midst. Remove the hustle and bustle of life from us. Remove the busyness of life. Remove every spirit that's not of the Holy Spirit of God from this place, and loose our spirit into the glorious liberty of the Spirit of God, that we may have the spirit to worship Thee in spirit, in truth, in the beauty of holiness. Help Thy worthy servant as he shares Thy word, that Thou forgive him of all his sins, that Thou empty him of self and fill him with Thy spirit, and use him for Thy honor and Thy glory. We pray for ourselves that Thy word will take root in our heart and bring forth fruit for thy honor and thy glory. Lord, we just commend this time into thy hands. We pray that thou meet with us, remove the dullness of hearing from us, and help us to pay attention to thy word. We thank thee. We ask all this in Jesus' most holy and precious name. Amen. Right, whatever ye do. Okay. This one, whatever ye do means good things. Huh? Don't say whatever you do, I can get angry, you know. I must get angry for the glory of God. Okay, please don't. God never meant that. Yes, Christians can get angry. But the Bible tells us, be angry but don't sin. Okay? And let not the sun go down upon thy wrath. Don't keep your anger overnight. Okay? And don't say, I'm doing it for the glory of God. Okay? You're not. Okay? You're only hurting yourself. You're hurting God's cause. And you're hurting the person that you're angry with. Although maybe that person whom you're angry with doesn't know about it. You know, sometimes we carry a lot of burdens. We are not to carry our burdens. Because the Lord Jesus said, casting all our cares, our burdens upon him, for he careth for us. But we are asked to carry our cross, you know. So don't ask the Lord to carry your cross for you. Ask the Lord to carry your burden for you. The cross, you have to do it yourself. Okay? So if you get angry with somebody, okay, you are not doing it for the glory of God. Okay? You are doing it for yourself. Okay? Whether you eat or drink, maybe you ask how to eat to the glory of God. Have you ever asked your question? Ask yourself, how can I eat to the glory of God? Okay. I believe what it means that you mustn't be a glutton. There are people who love certain kind of food and they will like to eat and eat and eat, you know, so much until they burp. To show that, you know, it's very satisfying. I think that shouldn't be the case, because the Bible tells us that we should not be a glutton, you know. A glutton is a very bad testimony for a child of God. And whatever you drink, here it doesn't mean liquor, alcohol. You are not supposed to drink that, because the Bible tells us wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. So this has nothing to do with alcoholic drink. Okay? It's just a simple drinking. I don't know whether you have heard people drinking or not. Sometimes they drink in such a way, they make a lot of noise, right, when they drink. Okay? I believe that when you drink, you have to drink it with dignified manner. Okay? I don't know what that means, but as long as you drink in an acceptable way, okay, I think that should be okay. Okay? Don't make a lot of noise, you know, when you drink and so on. Okay? Do it all to the glory of God. Now, God is glorified in our action. Okay? When we go out with people, especially those who are not Christians, you go out for a meal with them. When you eat, you drink, they're watching you, you know. Okay? A long time ago, almost 40 years ago, if I remember correctly, we were all in the Red Cross, teachers, okay? And we had training. And after the training, all of us teachers would go together for a meal, you know. And there was one guy, he's a teacher. Okay? I just don't know. I can't describe his behavior. We ordered a plate of fried kway teow, you know. You know, in the fried kway teow, you get what? You get the clams, right? You get the sausages. You get some bits of meats and everything. Okay, it was put on the table, and there were 10 of us. Okay? And this guy stood up first, and he started digging into the kway teow, you know, for his sausages. It was so small, you know, the sausage. And he started digging, you know. After, when we looked at it, none of us wanted to eat anymore. I don't know, maybe that is his trick, like, you know, so that he can eat the whole plate of kway teow by himself. There were 10 of us, you know, one little plate, how to share. So maybe he thought, if I do that, you know, it looks so disgusting, maybe the rest won't eat, you know. So maybe I will eat it all myself. And we let him eat. I thought it wasn't very nice. And he's a teacher, mind you. I don't know what he's going to tell the children. Sometimes the teacher say, listen to what I say, but don't do what I do. That's teachers. That's why during assembly time, we are given topics to tell the students. And one of the topics is, don't gamble. So the teacher will come out on stage and say, don't gamble, gambling is bad. And then the children will catch the teacher playing mahjong. And then they would be thinking, hey, you tell us gambling is bad, and why you gamble? So they won't trust us, you see. So as a child of God, if you behave in such a manner, that will bring not so good report to them. The next time when you want to share the gospel with them, they will think twice of becoming a Christian. Because they always remember the bad things we do. Human is a very funny creature. They always remember the bad things. They seldom remember the good things. Okay? We all know, right, our friends. They always talk to us about the bad things we have done to them, right? Very rarely do they commend us on the good things, you know. Always is the same. Okay? So if you behave in an undignified manner, okay, and later on when you want to share the gospel with them, they will say, hey, I don't want to become a Christian. If I become a Christian, I end up like you, you know. Okay? I end up behaving just like you. Okay? No thanks. So whatever we do, we have to watch. Okay? We have to be very careful. That's why it's very important every morning before you set out of your house, commit the day to God. Ask God to set a seal over your mouth that the words you speak will be words of graciousness, kind words, meek words, words that will encourage, words that will not hurt, you know, not cut, and so on. Okay. Sometimes in a moment of anger, we just can blurt out something. And then we realize we shouldn't have said that. But it's already out of our mouth. We can't gather it back, you see. So we need to commit everything to God. Early in the morning, before we set out of our home, whether to go to school, whether to go to work, whether to go to market or buy things, and so on and so forth. Okay? Because if you go to market, you like to bargain, right? Okay? Although now, very rarely do you bargain now, because most of the prices are fixed. Okay? But last time they used to bargain. Okay? So as a child of God, we should be careful of how we speak, okay? How we behave, to give a picture to the world that we are different from them. Okay? We glorify God by doing this. Okay? And then another verse tells us, okay, in 1 Corinthians 6:20, personal moral purity glorifies God. The Bible tells us, okay, or rather Paul says in verse 19 of chapter 6, 1 Corinthians, he says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, that ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Okay? Every one of us must have personal moral purity. Because before Paul come to these two verses, in verse 18, he says, flee fornication. This is for all, you know. It's not for the youngsters only. Okay? Sometimes old people also fall into this trap. That's why some old men, they call them D-O-M. D-O-M, you know? Distinguished old men? No, it's dirty old men. D-O-M. So we have to be very careful. The Lord himself says, well, if you lust after a woman in your heart, you have already committed adultery with her. Okay? It's that serious. Okay? You don't even have to do the actual thing, you know. Okay? You already have done it in your heart. Okay? You already have fallen. Okay? So you must flee. A very good example is Joseph. Right? Remember, he was working in Potiphar's house. And this wife of Potiphar's, okay, terrible woman, keep on pestering Joseph, lie with me, lie with me. He says, no, I cannot sin against God. How can I do this great sin against God? You know, in order not to sin against God, we must always be in close contact with God. We must always practice the presence of God. Okay. Wherever you go, be conscious that God is with you. Why? Because he says what? I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You know that he's by our side. When we go to work, when we go to school, okay, when we are walking, when we are traveling, he's with us. Because he says, I never leave you. I never forsake you. Means he is with us. Okay? And so if you know the Lord's presence is with you, then you have to be very careful. At least your church is in an area not like Geylang. My church is in Geylang. There are very colorful characters around. One day in the evening, I was waiting to cross the traffic light. One young, pretty China lady came, hooked her hand into mine and said, hello, uncle. I got a shock of her, my life. I said, I'm not your uncle. Then, after that, I felt a little bit regret, you know. Not because I missed the chance. I should have brought her to my church. Then let somebody bring the gospel to her. Okay? But in that moment of time, I say, hey, I'm not your uncle. You know, I shook my hand off. And then I just walked across the road and went as fast as I could to my church. Yeah? Thank God your church is not situated like that in such an area, you know. So, we have to be very, very careful. Right? Moral purity, because our body is the temple of the Spirit of God. Okay? This body is to glorify God. It's not for self-gratification, self-satisfaction. Right? Don't do it for yourself. Right? What you eat, what you drink, right? Don't think of, oh, this is the best food. Okay, I just eat as much as I can. Maybe I'm not going to eat anymore. You know, okay? We belong to God, so we need to take care of the body. We need to keep it healthy. You know, as far as possibly as we can. Okay? To worship God. Another thing, how to glorify God, it is to confess our sins. Yeah. You see, when we confess our sin, we are glorifying God? Yes. Because Joshua chapter 7 verse 19 says this. Okay. Give glory unto the Lord God of Israel and make confession of your sin. Okay. He was telling Achan. Achan had stole something during the battle of Jericho. They were very, very clearly told not to take anything because the things there were cursed. Well, during the fighting, he saw a wedge of gold. He saw a beautiful Babylonian garment. In the heat of the battle, when everybody was slaughtering the enemies, he thought nobody saw. So he kept it. No. And then he went to his tent, he buried it under his tent. Nobody saw, but God saw. Okay? You can't hide things from God. We are all naked before God. We are all open before God. Okay? Even our thoughts that walk through our mind, nobody knows. God knows. Okay? David says what? You know my uprising, you know my down sitting, you know my thoughts are far off. That's what God is. He's the all-knowing God. Achan thought he could, you know, escape the scrutiny of man. Maybe he thought nobody would see him take all these things. In the heat of the battle, nobody, you know, they only watch out for themselves, not to get killed by the enemy. Nobody bothered to look around and see what the other soldiers were doing. Okay? So he grabbed this opportunity and stole the things. And what happened? Because of that one sin, 36 soldiers died. It was due to his fault. Because the next city that they were going to conquer was Ai. And maybe some of the generals told Joshua, hey, it's a small city. Don't have to bring all our forces there, you know. We choose about 3,000 men, you know. We can overrun the city very easily. Jericho fell, you see. Jericho is such a strong city, it fell. So that Ai is a small city. And so Joshua said, okay. So they went. But they fled. And in the process, 36 of them died. And Joshua, of course, he was at a loss. So he prayed and asked God, what happened? He said, why did you bring us out here to get defeated by our enemies? Then what did God say? Israel has sinned. He didn't say Achan has sinned, you know. He said Israel had sinned. You see, if you are a member of this church, you sin against God, the whole church suffers. Not only you. Okay? So be very careful when you want to sin. Think of the other members in your church. You are hurting them. Don't sin. Okay? Don't sin. Maybe some of them will have to die. 36 of them died. And so, God told Joshua that he's going to pinpoint the person to him. And so they all line up, each family, each tribe. Okay? And slowly, Achan's family was taken. So Joshua told Achan this, Joshua 7:19. Okay? Give glory unto the Lord God of Israel. Make confession of your sin. When you confess your sin, you are actually standing on the side of God and say, God, I have wronged. I have sinned. No? Don't make excuses for your sin. Don't rationalize. If you have sinned, just say, I have sinned, you know. Don't say, it was my weakness. Or maybe you say, is that sin? A small little thing, is that sin? I don't think it's sin, you know. Sometimes we try to reason, hoping that people will accept our reasoning. Okay? To God, a sin is a sin. A lie is a sin. Some people tell white lies. Is there any such thing as a white lie? What's a white lie? Maybe you say a white lie is a lie that doesn't hurt anybody. But it's still a lie, right? And Jesus says, who is the father of lie? Satan. When he maketh a lie, he maketh it on his own, of his own. He's a liar from the beginning. He lied to Adam and Eve. That's why sin came into the world. Because he's a liar. So if you tell a white lie, you lied. And the Bible says what? There are no liars in heaven, you know. No liars in heaven. Sometimes you think a lie doesn't hurt. What's wrong, you know? It doesn't hurt anyone. Maybe not so now, so often now. Maybe last time. Before your parents came to know the Lord Jesus. Maybe you're the first person in your home to become a Christian. And you want to come to church. Okay? But your parents don't allow you to come to church. Then you tell your mother, I'm going to my friend's house. But your intention was to come to church. You want to honor God. You know? So you went to your friend's house, maybe just to say hello to him, which is the truth, and then you come to church. Okay? Which is not what you wanted your mother to know, right? Okay? That's a lie, you know. You just told your mother a lie. Yes, you went to your friend's house, but your mother thought you went to your friend's house maybe to study, to play with him, or so on. But your intention was coming to church. You say you want to honor God. When you want to honor God, you have to tell the truth. Okay? You say, if I tell my mother the truth, I will not come to church, she will not allow me. How do you know that she won't allow you? Have you prayed that God will move her heart to allow you to come to church? Maybe you didn't. You just assume that your mom wouldn't let you come to church. Okay? Don't lie. Whether it's a white lie, a gray lie, a black lie, you can even have a rainbow color lie if you want to. You know? To God, a lie is a lie. Jesus says, I am the truth. He's not a liar. God is the God of truth. So as children of God, we have to speak the truth. When you sin, tell God, God, I have sinned. And this is what my sin is. All God knows, but God wants you to confess. And there's a promise, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sometimes it's easier to say sorry to God than to say sorry to our brothers or sisters in Christ, you know? Right? I'm sure you've experienced it, right? When you sin against your brother, it's easier to say, God, I've sinned against my brother, rather than coming face to face with your brother and say, brother, I've sinned against you. Please forgive me, right? It is, I tell you, it is very, very difficult. It's a struggle because you think, first, maybe he's going to get angry with me. Then you think maybe I lose face if I say sorry to him, you know. Last May, I went to Philippines for the conference with some of my church brothers. I had a very bad cough. Then there was a cold drink, so I took it. I took a sip, just a sip only. And it was a full glass, you know. I don't like to waste things. So one of my brothers says, you have a cough, you cannot take cold drink, give it to me. Then he said, do you drink it? I said, no. It was just a sip, you know. I didn't drink it. I said, no. He said, give it to me. So he drank it. No, I felt so bad, really bad. I had no peace because I told him a lie. I struggled, you know. I struggled for so long to go and tell him, look, brother, I've sinned against you. I drank that drink. I just took a sip, I told him. He said, small matter. It's nothing to worry about, you know. Okay? Sometimes we face struggle to go and confess to our brothers. Okay? Just like the prodigal son. Right? He came to himself and realized that, hey, the servants in my father's house are better off than me. They got so much bread to eat and to spare. Here, I perish of hunger. This is what I'll do. I'll go to him and say, Dad, I'm sorry. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. And he went. Okay? He went. So must we. Don't just say, okay, I'm going to say sorry to him and just do nothing. You have to go and get it right. Then you feel the peace, you know, the great peace that floods your soul. Because you glorify God. You are on God's side. You have sinned. Okay? God is not happy with you. God is not pleased. You lie. Okay? He wants you to get right. So go. Maybe there are some of you here now, I don't know. Maybe you have sinned against your brothers or your sisters. Or you have not made right with that person. Go, just swallow your pride. Sometimes, you know, why we get into trouble? We get into trouble because we don't think first before we speak. You know? And we remain there because of our pride. We don't want to say sorry. We don't want to admit that we are wrong. Okay? We don't want to lower ourselves. You know, hey, I'm a pastor, you know, that person is just a member in my church, you know. Can you imagine a pastor saying sorry to him? I've sinned against you. Don't get the idea that pastors are infallible, okay? We are all human. We make mistakes. Sometimes we just open our mouth. It's the same. So fast, we realize that, hey, that's wrong. Okay? That's why I do not know about you. Okay? Some people say as you grow older, you become wiser. I don't know whether that's true or not. But to me, it's true, like, you know. As you age, you see what life really is all about. Okay? You have seen life, so you know actually what it's about. Okay? That's why young people, you may be smarter than old folks, but the old folks are always wiser than you. Okay? So when your parents tell you, children, don't say you're out of date, you're old-fashioned, you don't know anything. Hey, your parents know lots of things that you don't know. Yes, they're wiser than you. So pay attention when they tell you things. You always say, don't nag lah, mom, don't nag lah. You always think when mother tells you three times that she's nagging, you know. You know, God keeps on telling us over and over and over again what he wants us to do. You can read the book of Deuteronomy. They were reminded time and time again how good God was to them. They keep on forgetting. Okay. Just like us, we keep on forgetting. Okay. And just like you, children, students, you keep on forgetting. Maybe you think, you know, you're already 21. Yeah, you know, freedom, I got a key already. If you have the key, why is this staying at your home? You should be moving out, right? Why is this staying with your parents? Depending on them for pocket money. Free lodging, free food, if you have the key. So if you want to stay in the house, obey your parents. That's why I told my children, you want to stay here, you have to obey the rules of the house. And the rules of the house are based on the word of God. Honor your parents. Obey your parents. What your parents tell you to do, according to God's word, obey. Don't question. Okay. If you think it's hard, you think their families outside, they are better off, go. We tell our children that, you know. Okay? Sometimes they say, you all nag too much, you don't give us freedom, you know, and so on and so on. I say, hey, you are free, you know, to do whatever you like. Except don't burn the house down. You eat whatever we cook for you. You can sit anywhere, you can lounge anywhere. We make drinks for you even. If you think we don't treat you well, you think other family members treat you better, you're going to find this family. And they say, okay, we want to stay. So I say, okay, you want to stay, you have to obey. See? And so we have peace in the home. This is to glorify God. If you are a Christian home, your neighbors see you quarreling, bickering, shouting at each other, yelling at each other, they will be thinking, wow, Christians, what kind of home is this, you know? It's not a home, it's like a madhouse. Okay? So children, don't tell your parents they are nagging you, please. Go and say thank you to them. Go and say, thank you, Mom, I love you. Thank you, Dad, I love you. For teaching me. For telling me the way of God. Okay? Make them see their sins and make them confess. And when we sin against them, we just have to go and say, son, I'm sorry I yelled at you just now. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it, but I was so angry. Okay? Explain to them. Give glory to God. Okay? So when you sin, you confess your sin, you are actually glorifying God. Okay? So don't be afraid to confess your sin. Okay? I know it's easy to say sorry to God. It's very hard to say sorry face to face with a brother that you have sinned against or a sister that you have sinned against. Okay? But God will give you the grace to do it. And after you have done it, you feel the real peace that you have. Another way to glorify God is to bear fruit. John 5:15-8, fruit bearing. Jesus says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Not only fruit, but much fruit. Okay? All Christians must bear fruit for God. What is this fruit? It can be souls. It can be kindness, it can be long-suffering, patience, how you treat others. These are fruits. No? Fruit of the Spirit is what I love, temperance, joy, peace, all this. Okay? Do we have this as a child of God? Okay? Do we have fruits for God? Okay? Or must I go empty-handed and face my Savior's soul? Not one soul to greet him. Must I empty-handed go? If you have been a Christian for a long time, you have not led one soul to Jesus Christ, you better wake up and do something. Okay? Maybe you're sitting in that cozy corner too long. Get out of your comfort zone. Okay? But you say, people don't like to hear the gospel. Don't worry. Our duty is not to save souls. Our duty is just preach the gospel. That's it. Saving soul is God's business. He's the only one that can save. We can't. And anyway, Jesus himself said what in John 6:44? You cannot come to me unless my Father draws you to me. You know that? Nobody can go to the Lord Jesus Christ if God doesn't lead him to Jesus Christ. Nobody can. That's what God says. Okay? So our duty is just to go and preach the gospel. Tell them the good news that God loves him, that he's a sinner, he's bound for hell. And God wants to save him and bring him to live with God forever in heaven, in the beautiful land of heaven. That's our duty. If you have not done this, maybe you have been a Christian for 30 years, you better go and do something about it. Just give a tract. If you don't know how to talk, just pray and say, God bless the tract that I'm going to give to my neighbors. Sometimes your neighbor may be so surprised, hey, you're a Christian, you know. I have a friend. He was a vice chairman or a chairman of a bank, a huge bank. When another friend visit one of the workers in this bank and told, he said, hey, your boss is a Christian, you know. This worker was so surprised. And he said, huh, he's a Christian. Never knew that. What does it mean? What does it show? Obviously, his life doesn't reflect Christ, you see. He wasn't patient. He wasn't long-suffering. He wasn't kind. These things people can see, you know, if you're kind. When you're kind to people, people can feel it. They can see it. They can experience it. That's why the Lord said, don't light a candle and hide it under a bushel. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Your good works. What are your good works? Kindness, helping people, that's good works. Okay? Encouraging people, that's good works. You know. Yeah. when they're in trouble, go around and ask them, can I help you? Can I give you a helping hand? What's bothering you? Or don't say it's not my business, like, you know. Okay? Maybe he doesn't like it if I meddle with him. No, you have to show him that you care for him. Maybe sometimes we are so self-centered, we don't know what's happening around us. We only know what is happening to ourselves, our family members, our church members, that's all. You know, we are living in a small pond, or rather we are living in a well, look up. That's all the world we see, you know. That's all. The world is huge. The world is suffering. People have problems. Even our church members, they have problems. Do we go and say, can I pray for you? Maybe they are in financial difficulties. You have the means to help them. Go and help them. Maybe say, well, if I lend him money, he won't pay me back. Hey, nothing belongs to us anyway. Everything comes from God. You honor the Lord will honor you. That's why he says, all those that honor me, I will honor him. But those that esteem me lightly, God says, I also esteem them lightly. Okay? You know, it's so much joy, you know, if you live a life that glorifies God. Yeah. On my birthday, one of my members wrote me a note. I think this is the best note I ever have. Thank God for an ever joyful pastor. Yeah. If you live close to God, if you live a life that will glorify God, you don't have to worry, you know. Really, you don't have to worry. Okay? Sometimes my son is in England studying. I don't know what's happening to him. He's a man of few words. You ask him three questions, he answers one question. And his answer is just one word, yes. How are you? Okay. Do you need money? No. That's all. He never elaborate. And you know what? He's going to study to be a lawyer, you know. I don't know how he's going to defend his client. If you ever end up in court, that's him. Hardly can get three words out of his mouth. But I say, Lord, I just commit him into your hands. He's far away. I can't see him. I don't know what he's doing. I know he's studying. Please, Lord, take care of him. That was 4 years ago. This July, he's going to graduate. Okay? Thank God he's doing fine. So don't bother, just don't worry too much. Just commit it to God. And trust God. You already prayed, you already commit to God. Don't doubt God anymore, you know. Just trust Him. If parents, if you have children overseas, don't worry. Just commit them to God. Of course, keep in contact with them once in a while. Ask them how they're doing. For my son, it's difficult, you know. Ask him what he's doing. He just say, as usual. Know what as usual mean, you know, because he's far away. I don't know what as usual mean. Maybe studying, eating, sleeping, going for lectures, as usual. I don't know. But you told him, you know, keep close to God, go to church, worship God, okay? And so on. Take care of yourself. Right? Don't get into trouble. Then we just leave it. Okay? Just commit yourself to God. And glorify God in whatever you do. Okay? Don't doubt. Don't doubt. Okay? If you doubt, then you sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That's what the Bible says. Okay? And the last one I want to share with you is Psalm 50, verse 23. Praising God. The Bible says, Psalm 50, verse 23 says, Whoso offereth praise, glorify me. Do you praise God often? praise should actually flow naturally out of our mouth as a child of God. You wake up in the morning, praise the Lord, it's another new day. When you go to work, praise the Lord for strength that He's given me to work. You know? When you go for lunch, praise the Lord that I have money to buy lunch to eat. You make a mistake, your boss calls you, praise God. At least He finds out the mistake I make. Sometimes when bad things happen, we don't praise God, right? You get scolding, you praise God. Sometimes people think you're crazy. But when we praise God, we glorify God. God didn't say, when you praise me in good times, you glorify me. No. Praising God can also happen in bad times. Because we have to know that God is in control of everything. He's sovereign. He makes no mistakes. Even the bad things that come our way, He allows it to teach us so that we can learn something out of it. If you have never failed, you really don't know what success is. You know? You have to fail in order to learn a success. Hey, children, I'm not asking you. Uncle Raymond Yong say, fear must fear, don't study. No. You do your best, you fail, God knows. He's in control. Okay? But don't purposely fail. And here, I want to say something about children. Your mother knows you the best. Your mother carries you for 9 months in her womb. You know, she nurtured you, she fed you, she knows. So when she tells you you have not done your best, she knows, don't argue with her. You know? Don't say, you think so easy now to study, so difficult, you know, so many things to learn, you know. Hey, your mother knows. You don't have to tell her. Some of our children thought we never have been a child before, you know. Automatically we become adults. That's what they think. You don't know us, like, you don't know. What we don't know, we have been through childhood. Like. Sometimes we have been through childhood that is even tougher than this. Today, I do not know about you all. You know, last time we all lived in a kampong. We used to play on sand and everything. When our sweet dropped on the floor, we just take it out, clean, 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 and put inside our mouth, right? Today, you use what? Pine. Clean your house, clean your floor. Your child drop one sweet there. Don't eat dirty, throw away. Hey, you clean your house with J-pine, you know. You kill all the germs and tell your child dirty. Last time, we don't care. Go and catch spider, catch fish. The sweet drop into the longkang, so dirty, oil, everything. We just take it out, clean, 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 and just put inside the mouth. And we're still healthy, we're still alive. And we don't get cancer. Today, people are so healthy, people get cancer. You know? Like the Chinese say what? Lak sat chia lak sat tua. Yeah. Eat dirty and grow dirty. That's our childhood life. And our children thought that we have never been through childhood. Ah, you don't know like that. You don't know what I'm facing like today. You know? So much pressure. Oh yes, we know. They're so much fortunate than we are, right? They got computers, they got iPads to help them in their studies. We don't have. We only got one textbook. And we never get an opportunity to go to the library because it's so far away. And yet we made it by the grace of God. Okay? So children, we know, yes. Don't tell your parents you don't know. We know. Okay? So when your parent advises you, please listen. Take their word because they have seen life. They have been with God. They are trying to glorify God to bring you up to be a Christian lady, to be a Christian gentleman. Okay? Train our children to be a gentleman, to be a lady. Okay? Make sure that they grow up to be kind, to say please, thank you, excuse me. That's our job as parents. We glorify God when we have brought up well-rounded children for Him. If we fail, then we have to answer to God when we stand at the Bema seat of Christ. I give you 4 kids. Where are they? I give you 2 kids. Where are they? Why are they not with you in the church? Why are they not taught the word of God? Why didn't you have family devotion with them in the night to teach them my word, to train up them up in the way I want them to go? Hey, heavy responsibilities. Have we feared God? If we feel, then we have to ask God for forgiveness and ask Him for His grace. And when He has given us the grace to do all these things, we have to praise Him, praise the Lord. A lot of people think that praising God is charismatic. Charismatic always praise God, praise God. Every time you say, you meet a charismatic, he'll say, praise the Lord. Hey, if they can praise God, why can't we? We know the real God. We know the true God. Why can't we say, praise God? Praise the Lord. When it rains, do you say, praise God? I don't know. We have suffered the heat wave for so long. When it rained, you say, praise God? Or do you say, oh, I never carry an umbrella. Why must it rain now? Sometimes it's all for our own good. We feel like praising God because we are advantaged. We get something out of it, then we praise God. No, we should praise God readily. Try and do it as naturally as you can. Don't be afraid. We serve a living Savior. We know the true God. Why should we be afraid to praise Him? People who worship the wrong kind of God, they praise their God. And they are so fervent in it. Why can't we as Christians who know the true God, who saves us from our sins, prepare a home for us in heaven, and is going to come back and bring us back with Him, to stay with Him forever. Why can't we praise Him? We ought to learn to praise God more. So whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, praise God. Keep your body pure, praise God. When God answers your prayer, praise Him. And one thing I want to tell you about answered prayer. Don't ever treat God as your problem solver. Okay? You only come to Him when you have problems. When you don't have problems, you don't go to God. Okay? Now God is not only our problem solver. God wants us to worship Him. To come into His presence just to sit still and meditate on Him and say, God, you are a great God. You are an awesome God. You are the Creator God. Thank you for the opportunity to know you by your Spirit. Just like Mary. Of course, Martha wants to cook up the best dish for Jesus Christ. But Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, drinking in His words. Martha said, Lord, you don't care about me? Ask my sister, come and help me in the kitchen. The Lord says, Martha, Martha, you are cumbered with many things. But Mary has chosen the good part which shall not be taken away. Nobody can take away your worship of God. Nobody. Not the devil. Not even God Himself. If you have a heart for God, okay, don't run to God only when you have problems. Lord, my son is sick. Please touch and heal him. Thank you in Jesus' name. And when the Lord heal your son, you never come back and say, Lord, thank you for healing my son. You take it for granted that it's your divine right to call upon God. And it's God's responsibility to heal your son. And after that, you don't even come and say, thank you, God. Praise you for your goodness and your mercies towards me, towards my son. Don't treat God just like that. No. He wants us to enjoy Him, glorify Him. Okay. So learn to praise Him more. So when you sin, confess your sin, you are glorifying God. live a right life for God. And if you are here, you are not a Christian, you cannot glorify God because you are not a child of His. You must come to a right relationship with Jesus Christ. You can come to church and still be outside the kingdom of God. In fact, there are many people in the church who may not be saved. I hope not in this church. There are others who come to church, maybe look for friends. Maybe they like the atmosphere here. Maybe they like the singing here. Maybe they like the people here. So they come. Then as the years go on, they have never received Jesus as their Savior. And they feel very comfortable and they think they are safe. You're not safe. When the Lord comes, you'll be left behind. And when you die, you'll not be in heaven. Because you do not have a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus. So if you are here, if you are such a person, you know yourself. Because the Bible says, we know that we have eternal life. We know it. 1 John 5:12-13. We know it. He that had the Son had life. He that had not the Son of God had not life. But the wrath of God abideth upon him. John 3:36. You know you have eternal life because when you become a child of God, the Spirit of God lives in you. You know that you are a child of God. If you do not know you are a child of God, most probably you are not a child of God. So you can become a child of God today and live a life to glorify God when you become a child of God. If you are interested, you can see your pastors. You can see the elders, you can see the deacons, you can see the Sunday school teachers. They will teach you, they will show you from the Word of God how to become a child of God. And I hope you will make the right decision to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. And then you can live a life that will glorify God. Or else you can't, no matter what you do. How hard you try and strive to want to glorify God, you can't. You just simply can't. Because you are not changed. You don't have the Spirit of God in you. You are not a child of God. Okay? You can't glorify God. I pray you make the right decision. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, our hearts are thankful to Thee for saving our souls, making us whole, making us children of light, children of the kingdom of God. Thank you that you have written our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. Father, I want to pray for those who are outside thy kingdom. I pray that you will speak to their hearts. Help them to see that they are lost in their sins, that you love them, you want to save them. You have provided a way for them through the Lord Jesus Christ. Help them not to hesitate, but to come, confess their sins, acknowledge their sins, turn away from them, repent of them, and receive the Lord Jesus into their heart as their personal Savior. Then they can glorify Thee. Father, I commit this church into your loving hands. I thank you for raising up the people here. Pray for Reverend Lim Chibun, pray for Dr. Gan, pray for Pastor Naden, pray for all the elders, all the deacons, all the Sunday school teachers, all the leaders, all the members of this church, that Thou will unite their hearts, that they may be one. That this church will be a beacon of light, shining in the darkness around this area. That those people staying around here may truly see Thy people, that they are different, they are children of God. That they may want to come to know this real God, this true God. Give them an opportunity to come to Thy house to hear Thy word, that they too may be saved. We pray that one day all the people living around here will become children of Thine. We pray that You help Thy people to pray, to work, to serve Thee, to go and give out tracts to these ones and touch their hearts to read the tracts, to believe, mind the devil, that He will not cast doubt in their minds, and save them for Thy own name's sake, for Thy glory's sake. We thank you, Lord, We pray that thou be gracious and merciful to hear our prayers. We give thee thanks and praise thy blessed, holy, wonderful name. We ask and pray all this in Jesus Christ, most holy and precious name. Amen.